The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week, who is on vacation. 888-727-BECK. A lot to get into today. An awful lot of fun. We have this new study that I just noticed about humankind. We're like a really bad virus for this planet. The world's 7.6 billion people represent just 0.01% of all living things. 0.01%? Well, yeah, if you include plants and bacteria. Okay, so we're going to compare our life to bacteria. And that's kind of what this new study did. And they claim that since the dawn of civilization, humanity has caused the loss of 83% of all wild mammals and half of plants. I don't buy that. Humans have killed 83% of all the wild animals that have lived on this planet? Shut up. I just don't believe that. But this is the kind of stuff we're hearing all the time. Yesterday in the afterglow of the big royal wedding, there was a news report about Prince Harry's brother William. Prince William, who was talking about how population growth in Africa is wiping out the wildlife population there. Now, let's just say for argument's sake that's true. And what would you have done about it? What would you do about it? What action do you recommend? Well, the answer is, from people who feel this way, from people who do these studies, reduce the human population so animals and bacteria can thrive here. Because all life is the same, right? Leftists have been hysterical about population control or the population bomb for decades. Remember, back in the 60s and 70s, Stanford biologist Paul Ehrlich made all kinds of doomsday overpopulation predictions, including the battle to feed all of humanity is over. He said that in 1970. He went on to forecast that that hundreds of millions would starve to death in the next decade of the 70s. That 65 million of those who starved to death would be Americans. The crowded India was essentially doomed, and odds were pretty fair. England would not exist in the year 2000. Man, that is scary. When 2000 comes around, I'd get off that island if I were you. He was so sure of himself that he warned in 1970, sometime in the next 15 years, the end will come. And by the end, he meant an utter breakdown of the capacity of the planet to support humanity. And a collapse of civilization is a near certainty within decades. And obviously, none of those scenarios came to pass. And today, we have double the population of 1970. Double. In fact, a little more than double. And his book, The Population Bomb, which I think came out in 1968, turned out to be such a bomb that even the ultra-liberal New York Times finally realized in 2015 in an article called The Unrealized Horrors of Population Explosion that Paul Ehrlich was full of crap. Sadly, there were a lot of people who bought into the cataclysmic hype from Ehrlich and others, including the governments of China and India, who instituted policies like forced sterilization, forced abortions, and other extreme and downright crazy measures that took human life for no reason. People are dangerous. And even though some of Ehrlich's most devoted disciples have seen the light in the last few decades and have realized just how incredibly wrong Ehrlich and the rest were, there's still others, on the other hand, with all the evidence to the contrary, that still believe and continue to push his agenda. Bill Gates is one of them. Bill Gates pushes the overpopulation agenda, and he pushes it hard.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion.
7.6 billion now. So it's already gone up quite a bit since he did this a few years ago.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Lower it.
But there we see an increase of about 1.3. Hmm. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Okay. If we do a really great job on reproductive health care and vaccines, we can lower the population by 10 to 15%. Well, by reproductive health, he obviously means abortion, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to control human population through abortion. But what do vaccines have to do with limiting population growth and healthcare? I think with healthcare, he's talking about death panels. That because that's the only way you lower the population through healthcare. Because being healthier as a population would mean more people, not 10 to 15% less. Just bizarre. And vaccines promote human life. Unless you're controlling population growth with something in the vaccine other than disease prevention, maybe you're sterilizing people with the vaccines. I don't. That's just bizarre. And as far as I've seen, nobody asks him about this when he does this presentation. How did Bill Gates from Microsoft get into population control? As passed down from his dad. Bill Gates had a pretty interesting, had some interesting things to say about his dad and what his dad did in the past.
Two that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. It was very controversial to be involved with that.
Why would that be, you know, killing babies? Why would that be controversial? That's really strange. It's not strange. You mean people have a problem with killing babies? That's really, really weird. I think that's something a lot of people don't know about Bill Gates, is that his dad was the head of Planned Parenthood. And from its inception, Planned Parenthood was designed to limit population by killing undesirables in our society. Undesirables to Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger meant blacks, minorities. In her own words, she said the minister's work is also important and he should be trained, perhaps by Planned Parenthood Federation, as to our ideals and the goal that we hope to reach. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. That is just sinister. Decades later, the evil that is Planned Parenthood is praised, beloved, honored by the left, and its racist, evil, eugenics-loving founder is somehow strangely admired. We have 7.6 billion people on the planet and a much smaller percentage of starvation and lack of resources than ever before in human history. They couldn't have been more wrong about the population explosion, about the dangers we faced. Thanks in large part to capitalism. Also, if you're a believer, you know that mankind was given dominion over the earth and everything on it. Meaning we're stewards and we're supposed to take good care of the earth and the animals, but we're obviously the top of the food chain. We're more important than the animals. We're more important than bacteria or the plant life. God's first commandment was multiply and replenish the earth. He didn't say multiply and replenish the earth until 1968 and then stop having babies because... we need to go to zero population by then. He created a planet that can sustain life. A planet durable enough to handle SUVs. And all these people with their cataclysmic predictions are dangerous and causing people to make ridiculous decisions like China and their forced abortion policy. 888-900-888-727-BECK. More Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn coming up on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, who is on vacation this week. Gun control. When will we finally bring about common sense gun Thank reform? You. When?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Can't be fast enough.
It just can't. It
cannot be fast enough.
MSNBC's Katie Tour had Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on yesterday. Her badgering of him was unbelievable.
I believe that.
Listen to this.
Can you promise kids in Texas today that they're safe to go to school?
You hear that question? Can you promise kids in Texas that they're safe? Well, no. Can you? Can you promise anything to anybody?
Please?
I can't promise that you're going to be alive in 30 seconds. I don't know. Yeah, you can't. Nobody can promise that. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking
to
you,
asinine.
Ken Paxton.
Right. Yes, you're the attorney general from Texas. Should be able to promise that you should be able to guarantee our safety.
Look, I can say we've got a long way to go. I don't think anybody can promise that at this point. I do think there's a lot that we can do. I do think that this school was in the process of moving in that direction. They had resource officers there the guy that you just talked about just might have saved many, many lives by being there at the right time. I think they were also in the process of potentially training teachers and administrators, and I think that will be helpful in the future. And I think we need more schools that have on-site law enforcement or trained teachers that can respond quickly instead of having to wait, you know, a few minutes for first responders. You know, we might end up losing a lot more kids.
Yeah, I know we could have potentially lost a lot more kids, but we did lose 8 kids, and we lost 2 teachers as well. That school was hardened, that school had done drills, that school had 2 armed resource officers. What else are you proposing to keep kids safe? You can't tell them they're safe today.
Well, no, I don't think there's any way to say that we're ever 100% safe. You've always got to be vigilant. I think they were. I think they need to continue to improve on their plan, which may be use of technology, maybe controlling access better, and also actually getting those teachers trained. I don't think they had finished their implementation of their plan. So what they had done was commendable, and I think it did save lives. If we look at Sutherland Springs Church, there was nobody in that church with a gun. What saved some of those people was that somebody ran into the church after a while and shot the gunman and probably saved many, many lives. But again,
I do want to point out, though, maybe more people would have died. But I don't think you're intending to do this, but I do think it minimizes the 8 lives that were lost and the 2 lives that were lost to say that, well, this person saved more lives. I want to play with you one of the students, Paige Curry.
And she does.
Oh, boy.
And then she goes on to badger him further. This is just, it's crazy talk. What she does here, it's unbelievable to me. Here's what she kept badgering him.
Is this just what we're living in now, 2018, where the Attorney General of Texas, and I'm sure you're doing your very best, will tell me on national news that we can't keep kids safe, that they're never going to be 100% safe? I mean, that to me just...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir, but that's wild.
Why is it wild? What do you suggest? How do you make people 100% safe?
Yeah, put it back on her.
That's what I wish you would have done that.
How do you make them 100%?
Give me a suggestion. You tell me how you make people 100% safe.
You got the idea? You got the plan? Let's do it.
We can protect all children from all murderers, and we can safeguard this whole society from terrorists.
100%.
100% of the time. And never fail. You tell me.
Well, so there's definitely more we can do. We've got a long way to go. We haven't begun to do what we need to do. We've ignored the problem. We've tried to deal with this through regulation, which, you know, somebody that wants to kill somebody is not going to follow a new gun law. we need to look at what the Israelis done. You know, in 1974, they had a similar situation where I think it was 22 kids died, 68 injured, and they've been able to lock their schools down since. We need to go to some model like that. It's
you
just
know, I understand that, and I spend a lot of time in Tel Aviv, and I've been to a lot of schools in Tel Aviv. I've got stepkids who go to school
in
Tel Aviv, and you're right, there are armed guards standing at the doors to Israeli schools. They are locked down, but again, this school had that.
No, this school didn't have armed guards at the doors.
No, it didn't,
Katie. Oh, this is agonizing.
They were in the process of implementing, I think, greater plans than what you're talking about. They weren't done. And look,
I'm just asking what else can be done with two guys holding guns. They had drills. What else are you proposing?
I'm proposing that they finish their plan, which was to arm teachers and administrators. You don't know what teacher might have been in a better place than one of those resource officers. It may have been enough to save everybody. At least let's do the training and let's do the best. Let's do better than we are now. Let's improve the situation. Let's create a deterrent, first of all, that when a shooter's coming in, they know there's armed people and they don't know who they are.
That kid was a student. Presumably he knew that there were two resource officers there. Attorney General.
But had there been teachers, he may not have known which one. He would have likely not known which ones of them were armed. And he would have been
I wonder if that would have stopped him. I wonder if that would have stopped him. Texas
Look,
Attorney General.
Know,
wow.
We can't know what's in his head, but we can know that we can do better.
I mean, that is amazing. Hey, where do you stand on this, Katie? I'm a little confused. Wow, that was such a great down the middle job of a journalist that I don't know where you stand on the gun control issue. Huh. I mean, Ken Paxton showed the patience of Job.
Yes, he did.
I'd have been screaming at the top of my lungs by the end of that interview. Katie, why don't you tell me what you would do?
I mean, you don't even have to scream.
Yeah.
Right? You just stop and go, wait a second.
How do you safety wrap our society? Go ahead. Tell me.
100%.
Give it to me. And I'd love the advice here. Because obviously you know of some magical cure that's going to guarantee the safety. 100% guarantee the safety of all of our children.
You have to know it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking me what I was going to do.
Right, right. So, please, share it with us. Share your magic. What is it? I mean, that's despicable. Jeez. MSNBC is terrible.
Wow.
I mean, pathetic. And just a propaganda arm of the left. During the Obama administration, they were just essentially the propaganda arm of the Obama administration, and now they continue to spew out all the garbage from the left. Anything that the left wants out there, NBC is there to spew it for you. I mean, how would you 100% guarantee the safety? Leave them at home.
Yeah.
How about this? The kids stay home.
I mean, that's what the two former education secretaries suggested, you know, parents to pull their children out of schools in the public school system. And they were they're trying to say that they pull them out until they make the schools safer. The two former Obama secretaries. Where were you when the shootings were happening during the Obama administration?
Right.
That's right. No, you didn't say a word, but that's okay. Because, parents do have the choice of, it's called homeschooling, and more people are doing it.
I mean, that'd be certainly safer than having 1,000 kids in one location.
Yes. I mean, I can't.
Have them in 1,000 locations. I mean, when you've got schools the size of the schools that we have in Texas, one of our schools in the DFW area has over 5,000 kids. How do you safeguard them 100%?
Yes. I mean, they have 3 or 4 campuses.
Make them stay home.
Yes.
Stay home. 888-727-BECK.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK. We're going to talk to John Ziegler about an article he wrote. Article that I believe is in part, at least, about Glenn. Ziegler is not the biggest Trump fan. On planet Earth.
John, we're talking about the same John Ziegler?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, neither have we been. Although,
we have been willing to give
Credit
President
where credit
Trump
is due.
Credit when he has done things that are good.
Yes. And I think we still call him out when he does things that
we have to.
With which we disagree. You know, we just we try to be honest about it, and nonpartisan. I mean, I just it's either conservative or it's not. You either have the principles or you don't. And so when he's not putting forth those principles, we call him on it. And when he is, we praise him for it. Isn't that the way it should be? I think so. I think so. 888-727-BECK. So we're going to talk to him in about half an hour or so. We'll do it at the top of next hour. In the meantime, though, I wanted to share with you the sheer profound genius that is Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Oh, I...
Yeah. You know, we just had the wonder of Katie Tour from MSNBC.
Yeah, but I miss the wonder of Sheila Jackson Lee.
I do too, because we don't hear from her enough,
and often enough
anymore. And
is there
so,
a problem? Is there a problem with why we don't hear from her?
Not that I know of.
Okay,
not that I know of. But when she's sharing her wisdom with us,
we need to take it.
We need to take it, and we need to ingest it. And so here she is talking, of course, about the Second Amendment and speaking directly to those people that believe in the Second Amendment.
Okay, good.
Let me speak to those who continuously tout the Second Amendment. The First
Please.
Amendment is not without Supreme Court definition. That
wait,
if you,
wait, I thought wait, we were talking about the Second Amendment. And what are you going to the First Amendment for? What?
Don't question.
I don't know. I mean, this is Sheila Jackson Lee genius, so don't.
Proud at thief. That is not protected by the First Amendment.
Okay, yelling fire in a crowded theater. That's what they always go to. Or wolf.
Or wolf.
Or calling wolf in a crowded theater.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
And it is. It's the wolf and fire clause in the Constitution that says you do have freedom of speech, but you can't cry wolf or fire in a crowded theater.
But the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. But the Second Amendment, we'll get to that in a second.
And that means that if you take assault weapons and bump and use bump weapons,
bump
fixtures to make an assault weapon and you kill.
You use bump fixtures?
That is outstanding.
That means if you take an assault bump,
use bump
fixtures, if you do the bump. From the 70s, that was a really good dance. It was fun for about 15 minutes.
Hundreds of people, tens upon tens of people. That's not protected by the Second Amendment.
Whoa. Did you just hear that? Okay. Killing tens of people is not protected by the Constitution. I didn't realize that.
Hundreds of by tens.
Since when is murder not constitutionally protected? When did that happen?
I don't know. I missed it. I miss it, but this is going to become a clip of the ages soon.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty close.
It might already be there.
It could not be. And so we've got to find a way to keep guns away from people who would do harm.
Right.
We have to find a way to intervene in the lives of young people.
Why haven't we thought of this before?
I don't know.
Why haven't we said,
I don't know.
No, you're a person who will do harm.
I don't.
I see that. I foresee that in your future. So, no, you can't have
a gun.
You can't have a gun.
You can't have a gun.
I see it. And I can't allow it because you would go out and kill hundreds, tens and tens of people. And that's not constitutionally protected.
No,
now,
not.
I know you think murder is constitutionally protected, but it isn't.
What if I wanted to go out and bump?
If you want bump fixtures.
Bump fixtures.
You can't have them.
Okay.
You can't have bump fixtures.
This person shot people he did not like. You have to find a person like that has a Born to Kill t-shirt shown on his Facebook. That child needs intervention either by way of mental health needs or behavioral needs. And therefore, we've got to honor these children, not just mourn these children. It deals with guns. It deals with parents' responsibility in locking them up. It deals with intervention on a child's mindset. And it certainly deals with enhanced school safety. But I want...
She did actually get into some areas there. Where, we can do better on the parental issues.
Yes, we can.
You know your children better.
Be nice.
You know, these particular parents from Texas said he was a smart, quiet, nice boy. Well, smart, quiet, nice boys don't murder 10 people
right.
at their high school. So maybe you didn't know your son as well as you thought you did.
Which is possible. You know, and look, he had a Born to Kill t-shirt on his Facebook page. So,
and what do you do with
that? That?
What do you do with that?
You cannot have that. If you've got a picture of you.
Not against the law. Not against the law.
As a picture with a t-shirt. I mean, it could have been a gift. Anybody's mm-hmm. got, there's thousands of pictures, if not millions.
Yes. So do you arrest everybody with a Born to Kill t-shirt?
Well, I guess so. If you do, if you go down the line of, I think you're going to be a bad person. So you're not going to get a gun.
You can't have a gun because here's the thing. Murder is not constitutionally protected. You cannot go out and kill hundreds, tens of people.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. Let me make sure I understand what it is she's saying. Let's go back to the beginning and really decipher what she's saying.
Let me speak to those who continuously tout the Second Amendment, the
Please.
First Amendment.
Wait, you're going to. I love that. Let me speak specifically to those.
Continuously tout the
Second Amendment. The First Amendment.
Let me speak to those who continuously tout the Second Amendment. The First Amendment is not without Supreme Court definition that if you cry fire in a crowded theater.
Cry fire in a crowded theater.
That is not protected by the First Amendment.
Okay.
And that means that if you take assault weapons and use bump fixtures to make an assault weapon and you kill hundreds of people, tens upon tens of people,
that's
not protected by the Second Amendment. It should not be.
So you can't kill hundreds of people or tens and tens of people.
Tens and tens.
Okay, don't kill hundreds of people and don't kill tens and tens of people. That is not constitutionally protected.
What if there's actually a fire in the theater? Can I yell fire then?
Apparently not. But you can yell wolf.
Okay, good.
If there's a fire.
Okay. Okay.
If there's a fire.
I get to yell wolf.
You can yell.
I can yell wolf.
Wolf.
Wolf, but no way can I yell fire. Ever.
Right, right.
Okay.
I do not want to hear you yelling fire under any circumstances.
Okay.
In a crowded theater. In a half full theater, that's fine. But not in a crowded one.
Because the Constitution does not say that a person can shout, yell wolf in a crowded theater.
These Democrats are such constitutional scholars.
Like the back of their hand.
Don't challenge them. Don't even try to challenge them. You're exactly right. They know the Constitution like the back of their hand.
Yeah.
And they know that the Constitution doesn't protect you from killing hundreds of people or tens and tens of people. And they know that the Constitution does not protect you from crying wolf in a crowded theater. So. I mean, just butt stupid. We have the dumbest representatives on the Democrat side that you can possibly imagine. It's embarrassing.
It certainly is.
Absolutely embarrassing. I mean, that's as bad as Katie Tour. And Katie Tour is not an elected official. She's just a face on MSNBC. It's sad and pathetic. And they keep getting reelected. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is never going to be voted out of office.
No way.
No matter how ridiculous she is. It is possible she's got something more wrong with her than stupidity.
Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that.
I believe that. We've played some of the examples.
Yes.
That sound, scary.
I believe that.
Where you're concerned for her.
And there was one that they showed that just happened recently where she spaced on one of her speeches. And we've seen worse.
Yeah.
Her going into... and back. I mean, she...
yeah, she just loses it
just
for a while.
Just goes away, man.
Uh-huh.
And I am familiar with that particular train of...
And every time that happens, I go back to the pharmacist who services Congress.
Yes.
There's a pharmacy that's right next to the Capitol.
100 years or whatever.
Yeah, and he delivers medication to them. And he said he has delivered Alzheimer's medication to people in Congress.
That's kind of an issue.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. And we need to know about it. And so you wonder, well, who's that? Who are these people that have Alzheimer's disease and are battling with it in the U.S. Congress? Kind of a concern.
Just a tad.
Yeah. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn this week. He's on vacation. 888-727-BECK. Hey, the new Los Angeles Rams Stadium is supposed to be somewhat nice.
Yeah.
You know, for $4 billion, it probably better be nice.
$4 billion.
$4 billion is what it's up to now.
In today's world, though. In today's world, $4 billion.
Yeah,
what do
$4 billion
get?
Used to get you a pretty decent stadium.
Yeah, I'm talking about today's world.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Not today.
What's $4 billion?
I mean, do you get a luxury box even? I don't know.
Well, yeah, you get luxury, but you get like the business class luxury boxes.
Not the first class. You get the business.
Yeah, the business class luxury boxes. You know where like
scaled back.
Maybe 10 people, 15 tops.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, how in the luxury boxes you get food?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with luxury boxes.
I've heard some of us are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there for the food.
Mm-hmm.
In the business class ones,
yeah.
You have to go out into the hallway and
get your own food.
Ask for, you know, bring food.
Okay.
In.
Yeah.
In the luxury boxes, they just bring it to you.
$4 billion.
That's a pretty penny.
The most expensive stadium ever built is MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. $1.7 billion.
Wow.
The Raiders' new stadium in Las Vegas is expected to cost more than $2
billion.
Yeah. But this is still double that. Now, the Rams and Chargers are both going to use it.
Well, so, right there, you've cut the cost
in
half.
There you cut it.
It's only $2 billion.
$2 billion per team. For some reason, though, I think this is mostly the Rams, and they're just, I don't know if they lease it during certain games to the Chargers or how that arrangement works.
$4 billion, though, man. Wow.
Yeah, and the actual owner, I think, has like one point. I was just reading. His investment is something like $1.6 billion. Yeah, $1.6
billion. Expect the owners to pay for their own stadium.
Yeah, I really can.
No, you can't.
I can.
The cities have to help.
That's insanity.
The cities have to help. That's a clear fact.
I mean, why? Why would the city pony up any of the money? Why would the residents of the city pay for the owner's new stadium?
Are they
getting any of the revenue?
Yes, the city is.
No, they're not.
It's helping the city. Helping the city, Pat.
You can make that point.
And they do.
You can make that case.
They drive it home with those numbers.
Yeah, they do.
We'll call it a penny for happiness.
Yeah.
A penny for the Rams. A penny for L.A.
And that's what they'll say. They'll say that, you know, the restaurants are going to get business. The cabs are going to get business.
But guess what?
Movie theaters, everybody will get business.
Well, that
is
true. And that's their argument. And I've been through it. One big one in Tampa when they were building Tampa. Man, they would not stop. And they got it. They went through.
They always do.
They go through.
They almost always do.
Thing is, you can't use the stadium. You know, it's your stadium.
Yeah.
But it ain't your stadium.
Exactly.
You know, you don't get to use it.
Yeah. If my tax dollars are going to your stadium, I should be able to go to games for free.
I should have access to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be able to use it for free.
And look, you could if you were part of the Sports Authority, which has been put together to help focus the energy on the team and the community and the help that the team and community and tax dollars are doing for you, the citizen.
Yeah. The Sports Authorities. They put together a Sports Authority when I was in Houston. And it was designed, I believe, to make sure that the stadiums wouldn't be taxpayer funded, that they'd be funded some other way.
We found no possible way we could do it without that.
Yeah, and it didn't
look,
work out that way. It doesn't work out that way.
We tried.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Look, we asked a couple of businesses if they'd like to donate. They said no. So we said, okay, tax. I mean, it's clear. We tried.
And then they threaten you. If you're not going to pony up the taxpayer dollars, we'll leave.
And nobody wants to say...
Sayonara.
The fight is that
Except
people
San Diego
do.
Did.
Yep, I mean, people do.
They do.
That's what the fight
and
is,
And you lose
right?
the team.
And people say, well, then bye. And so 40% of the city is saying bye, and 60% says yes, the team stays, and the other 40% are paying the taxes with everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean... San Diego lost the Chargers.
There you go.
Just that way. All right. See you later. And they left.
Bye.
And they left. And now they're about to play football in a $4 billion stadium.
Wow.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Jeffy's here as well. Glenn's on vacation this week. 888-727 Beck. John Ziegler from freespeechbroadcasting.com wrote a great article about Trump and conservatives. He started out by saying it's no secret that despite numerous scandals, two big selling bombshell books about him and the ongoing Russian investigation, President Trump's poll numbers have recovered this year and are now in the realm of respectability. There's many explanations for this phenomenon, but many people who call themselves conservatives have settled on the one which makes them feel the best. Trump has exceeded our incredibly low expectations and now deserves credit for a lot of really good accomplishments. He writes, I have recently seen this now popular position be suddenly postulated by major commentators for whom I have great respect, as well as via people of questionable character and intellect on Twitter and Facebook whose names I don't even know to be real. John Ziegler from freespeechbroadcasting.com joins us on the Glenn Beck program with Pat Gray. Hey, John, welcome.
Hey, Pat, that's some funny stuff there.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the article. It's well written and I think really true. And I couldn't help but wonder if one of those major commentators for whom we have great respect is Glenn Beck, who was wearing a Make America Great Again cap last week.
Well, that's a great question. As you know, I do link to that phrase, or from that phrase, to an article about Glenn wearing the Make America Great Again hat. By the way, for the record, I am not wearing a Make America Great Again hat right now.
Neither am I. Nor will I ever.
And look, to be clear, you guys know me pretty well at this point, and I've gotten to know Glenn pretty well over the years, and I have had a fairly dramatic evolution about my view of Glenn, having gotten to know him, and he and I exchanged some pretty pointed emails after that episode on Friday, and I think that I understand where Glenn is coming from a lot better than I did at first. At first I was shocked. But then I think I understood it a little bit better. I think Glenn deserves, from my perspective, some benefit of the doubt because of the courage that he has shown during this entire Trump, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a fiasco from the standpoint of conservatism. And so I am willing to hear Glenn out on this. He is not the reason I wrote the column. I was going to write that column before Glenn did that, because this is something that I think is a far greater phenomenon than just Glenn.
Oh yeah.
And I think that Glenn, I think Glenn has a lot of factors into his thinking that most people, maybe even you guys, couldn't possibly comprehend as far as the complexity of it. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking more generally about the people who are believing this simply because it makes them feel good about themselves. I don't put Glenn in that category.
No.
And I think that Glenn, while I disagree with the substance of what substantiated his position, I believe that he thinks that this is a substantive position, and that's fine. That's what that's what discussion's about. That's what disagreement is about. And he and I have shared some of those disagreements at each other on Twitter, and I guess as I said on email. So this is not about Glenn, although I certainly understand why people were going to interpret that way. I considered that as I wrote the column. Oh boy, people are going to think I'm talking about Glenn Beck here, and I'm not really. Although again, I'm a very honest guy, and I am referencing at least vaguely what happened on Friday, which was really very dramatic, as you guys know, and got a lot of people's attention. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's, I think this is one of the reasons he did it, was to shake things up a little bit. It's interesting, though, because, you know, the Trump presidency, which I was not excited about, has probably been better than I anticipated. But you would not say so.
See, that's interesting that you say that, Pat. And I'm a big believer that expectations are everything in life.
Yeah.
And they really are. And Trump has benefited more than anyone I can think of from the phenomenon of
low expectations. Absolutely.
When I watch most of the conservative media coverage of Donald Trump, I know you guys are sports fans. I'm also a golf fan. It reminds me a lot of watching the Golf Channel cover Tiger Woods. You know, these days when Tiger finishes an entire 18-hole round without pooping himself, the Golf Channel is exceedingly exciting. And oh my gosh, he's back! He's only 14 shots down going into the final round, and he's just amazing. And of course, the biggest difference though is Donald Trump never won 14 major championships.
That's correct.
Right.
Tiger Woods at least deserves you know, some of that that hype and benefit of the doubt, despite his other personal problems. There's a lot that Trump and Tiger have in common, by the way. But 14 majors is not one of them. And so I think that the low expectations is really extraordinary. And I think it goes back to, okay, so what do we compare Trump to? Okay, see, I think that one of the things he benefits from in conjunction with the low expectations is that for conservatives, they think Hillary Clinton was going to end the world, right? So,
yes.
So anything that doesn't end the world
is better.
We're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And see, I've just never accepted that premise because Hillary Clinton, as awful as she was and terrible as candidate she was and as morally decrepit as she is, all those things I acknowledge, she was going to be working with a Republican Congress, and she was going to want to get reelected. And so I've never bought into this notion that she was something that we could not have survived. And so, I think we learned that, John, we did.
Under Obama.
Yeah, we did.
Right? Which in 2009, we were doubting that we were going to survive 8 years of Obama, and we did.
Right.
But we did.
And by the way, with a Democratic Congress for a large portion of
that.
So, I get that's a very good point. And by the way, the other thing I compare this to is, and maybe, you know, I'm not known as a delusional optimist, but I'm still upset that the president is not either Marco Rubio or Scott Walker, because I think both of those guys would have beaten Hillary easily. Donald Trump ended up winning with effectively Scott Walker's map. That was Scott Walker's map. And if Matt Drudge and the portions of the conservative media that just weren't thrilled with Scott Walker because he was boring hadn't abandoned him, if people remember correctly, he was the front runner before Trump got in. If Trump had never gotten in, I believe Scott Walker would have been the nominee. Maybe even Marco Rubio would have been his VP, and we would have two young real conservatives in the White House with a Republican Congress, and the accomplishments that would be achieved would dwarf whatever it is that we're trying to pretend that Donald Trump has done here. Because what I have seen, we have not the world has not been destroyed under Donald Trump, but it's early. He's 2.5 years in. And to me, the accomplishments have been overstated, and the dangers have been, by some conservatives, I'm not saying Glenn, but many of his most ardent fans, are underestimating the dangers. And let's use the Hillary example. I mean, my God, you guys know this better than anybody. If Hillary Clinton had been credibly accused of one-tenth of some of the things that Donald Trump has been accused of, both in the realm of the Russian investigation and related areas, most of the conservative media would be on 24/7 hair on fire alert, and the hypocrisy has been astounding. And some of the people I really used to respect in the conservative media have really embarrassed themselves.
During this entire presidency, and I do agree with that, they have never, and by the Democrats or the left or the liberal media, whatever you want to call them, have been relentless in hammering Donald Trump for everything he does. And so at some point we all said, man, give the guy a chance.
I'm all for giving him a chance, and I've given him a chance, and I can't stand it when people use the Trump derangement syndrome description, because I don't believe I have Trump derangement syndrome. I've complimented him when he deserves it, and I agree that I've said many, many times that the news media, in a large part, is getting what it deserves for having had 8 years of having the pom-poms out for Barack Obama.
Yep.
When you have the pom-poms out for Barack Obama for actually more than 8 years, because they got him elected. That's why I made the movie Media Malpractice, how Obama got elected. So for basically 9 or 10 years, you have the pom-poms out with no objectivity whatsoever. Now all of a sudden you're going to pretend that you're the fourth estate and your job is to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
Sorry, you don't get to do that.
Nobody buys
it. You lost your moral authority, and that's why it's not working. That's part of why Trump is not just surviving, but in many ways he's prospering, because the media has completely lost its power to influence these events for at least 40% of the population.
Yeah.
Now, that's dangerous, but it's understandable given what they did with Obama.
There's also kind of a phenomenon where the media is so over the top that it just kind of brings out a defensive mechanism.
Sure does.
In people who have rooted for Republicans, generally speaking.
Well, I'm going to differ with you guys a little bit on that. I mean, I get that a lot of this is it seems over the top. See, I don't give Trump any credit for having an R next to his name, because I never believed he's a Republican. So
there is that.
So therefore, I don't have that defense mechanism inherently in me with Donald Trump. But also, I do think there's a little bit benefit. Trump also benefits from what I call the big lie theory, that some of his scandals and his lies are so large that we are hesitant. Even I am hesitant. Like, for instance, the Russia thing. I've never said he's guilty of Russian collusion, but the whole concept is so enormous, it's tough to wrap your brain around and actually believe it, even if you don't like the guy.
It's tough to believe it either way. When you start going inside, either way, I mean, it's either Trump or Obama, and who knew and when they knew and what they're doing. I mean, it's a difficult thing to wrap your head around, and it's a difficult thing to care about.
Well, I don't know about the last part. I mean, I get that a lot of people have stopped caring because it's supposedly gone on so long and it's complicated, and we don't like that. We're short attention.
For sure.
And you know, we like things that are simple. But frankly, I am appalled by a lot of what we've already learned in the Russian investigation, and even we seem to learn almost on a daily basis. And I have to say that Trump's reaction to it, Trump's reaction to it is probably the strongest evidence that there is something seriously, seriously wrong here. I don't know what it is exactly. I have some theories, but his reaction is completely inconsistent with that of an innocent man. If you think you're going to be exonerated, and which, by the way, Robert Mueller is a respected Republican. Let's remember that before this became political.
I know. Yeah.
So if you think you're innocent, you're the president of for the frickin' United States. Your party is in control of both houses of Congress. You have a state-run Fox News channel, which is the highest-rated cable news network that will do your bidding on everything. You have a conservative media industrial complex. You cannot get railroaded for being an innocent person when you're the president of the United States under these circumstances. And yet, here you have the perfect situation to be exonerated, and you're calling it a witch hunt on a daily basis? Why? Why? There's no explanation for that, guys.
That's Donald Trump.
Yeah. So you're saying, well, John, I should hold off sending you the MAGA hat that Glenn wore on Friday?
Because it's right here. We can put it in the mail.
I mean, it's right in front of me. I was going to get it in the mail to you today.
Well, would you guys sign it? If you guys sign it, and maybe I might find some value in that.
Let me ask you this off topic.
Please.
What about the Penn State movie on Netflix?
Yeah,
have you
Paterno?
Seen that yet, the Paterno movie?
Yeah.
tell me, is it good?
Well,
I know your answer.
It's a fantasy. It's literally a fantasy based upon a media created myth. I've written quite a bit about it. Which you can find at framingpaterno.com. You guys know better than almost anybody else in the news media how everything people have been told about that entire Penn State Jerry Sandusky Joe Paterno story.
Totally wrong.
I know you've turned it upside down.
Totally wrong. Totally wrong. I've investigated for 6 years. I'm the only person that's come to a conclusion against my own self-interest. I know more about the story than anybody in the world. I'll debate anyone, anytime, any place. I will bet anything that I am right about it, and it's not even close. That's what's so scary about it. I have no connection to Penn State. I don't even like the people I'm defending. in fact, I hate many of them. There's never been a story of more abject media malpractice that makes what happened with Obama look like child's play. more cowardice. And frankly, it's scary, because if it can happen in a situation like this to really good people, then it can happen anywhere.
So,
and
No, I was just wondering, so since its release, have you gotten any strong feedback like you're right, or this was trash and now you're wrong? What's been the feedback?
Well, people are pretty dug in on this. I mean, the people that are my supporters.
Minds have been made up.
Well, yeah, and that, and without any real information. The movie. Here's what's interesting to me about the movie. The movie actually kind of gets it right, only in the opposite direction. Here's my analysis of the movie. The movie basically pretends that Joe Paterno, because he was so old, forgot that Jerry Sandusky was a pedophile. That's a fairly good analysis in one sentence of what the basis of the movie is. Here's what really happened. Joe Paterno forgot that he hadn't been told that Jerry Sandusky had been abusing a boy and got manipulated by prosecutors and by his own son and by his own assistant coach, because 10 years later, all the incentives changed. That's actually what happened. And so it's funny to me that HBO was kind of like in the right ballpark. They just got in the absolutely 100% opposite direction of what really happened here.
Amazing.
Amazing situation. It really is. John Ziegler, freespeechbroadcasting.com. Also with insightful articles on a regular basis on Mediaite.com.
That's correct.
Where else are you? Because you're all over the place.
It was Sigmund Freud is my Twitter
Freud.
Handle.
Right.
That's one of the worst Twitter handles of all time, but I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good Twitter follow, so we have a lot of fun on Twitter, so follow me there.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take
See
care.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. Interesting article from movie critic Rex Reed, titled "What Happened to Jim Carrey?"
Right?
Wow, that's what I've been wondering for a while.
A lot of people have.
First of all, he turned super political. He kind of went the way of David Letterman. David Letterman used to be funny. David Letterman used to be fun. Then David Letterman became a crotchety old progressive who hated everybody on the right. And I think that happened to Jim Carrey, too. And it's the downfall of these people. And that's fine if they care more about their politics than they do their career. But nobody pays attention to Jim Carrey anymore, do they?
No, because every once in a while he shows up and says something kind of good. And you think, oh, okay, maybe we'll give him a shot.
He
and
showed
then
up at
talks
that
longer, that prison or whatever, right?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't that long ago.
Former gang members or something.
Yeah,
it was a club that invited former gang members in, and he showed up talking about Jesus and redemption, and it was pretty cool. But then he started babbling about gun control and all that.
Right.
Shut up. Just do a funny movie again.
That'd be nice.
Instead, he's done some really bizarre Polish, ugly, icky, dark, dank drama movie is his latest. It's called Dark Crimes.
That might be good.
And Rex
like,
Reed
I
says,
like that stuff.
Do you?
Yeah, I like the dark stuff.
Oh, no, thank you. Rex Reed says, it's so lurid, irrelevant, and unwatchable, it makes you wonder if he ever read the script.
And he probably didn't, right? He needs the money, he needs the work, he wants to try to get out there.
Probably, yeah.
And, you know, there's so many places making movies now, he's hoping to make something dark and then sell it to Netflix and make a series.
This is a guy who had a string of, what, $600 or $700 million plus movies?
We made a fortune.
One massive hit after another.
Made a fortune.
Now, he's done many flops in a row, and this movie is so bad, it went straight to video.
Ooh.
Oops.
Ooh.
Oopsie daisies.
I mean, if you can't even get it to a Hulu or a Netflix.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Come back to us, Jim. Come back to us. Be funny again.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy. Glenn is on vacation this week. At noon Eastern, immediately following this show.
What happens?
Join me on my show.
What?
Pat Gray Unleashed, blazeradio.com. Also, the iHeartRadio app and just about everywhere else as well. Yeah, you can see it on, you know, you watch it on podcast later at your leisure. Or join us live.
But why would you do that?
But why? I mean,
if you watch it at your leisure again, maybe that's fine.
Yeah, just to get your fill. You probably want to go back and get the subtle nuances.
You want to catch it live.
All the subtle nuances of the show. So that's 12 o'clock
there
Eastern.
There are so many.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man.
This is an interesting story. A circuit court judge just issued his restitution opinion for a teenager who pleaded guilty to starting the Eagle Creek fire last summer.
I love it.
This burned how many acres? 48,000, right?
48,000 acres it burned.
48,000 acres.
Oof.
The teen was in court on Thursday where 11 different claims were submitted from different agencies and companies. Yeah. And he has been charged with restitution of $36 million.
Think about it. And that's not all.
The kid's 15 years old.
So he's got plenty of time. That's not all. He gets 5 years probation and 1,920 hours of community service with the U.S. Forest Service.
Wow.
Amazing. His attorney called it the opinion absurd.
You can kind of, I can see where that would, where he would feel that way.
I know.
$36 million? I mean, this kid can never pay $36 million. Most people don't make $36 million in a lifetime.
Look, the judge said the restitution is clearly proportionate with the offense. It doesn't break any of the constitutional laws. And it said, he also said, and I thought this was nice of the judge, he said, look, if the teen cannot pay the millions in full, he can establish a pay schedule through the Hood River Juvenile Department.
Pay schedule. Okay.
You know, look, if you can't
pay $56,000 a month for the rest of my life.
You can't pay the $36 million in full, kid.
Wow.
You work on a payment. Right, that's what you got to do, right? I don't know that you could actually claim bankruptcy and then make it all go away.
I wonder. I wonder, because that's what you would obviously do if you could.
Right.
That's... I mean, think you just and he's only 15 now, so I that stays
have
with
to
you.
Get an attorney and go to each payment and say, work out some kind of deal, right? Whether some nothing or a little bit.
The court awarded restitution to the state on behalf of the following victims in the following amounts. $5,000 to Iris Shank, who's did her house burn down?
Yeah, she was renting a house in the forest, and it burned. She lost a bunch of stuff, everything in the house.
$8,100 to Allstate Insurance. So far,
okay,
it's a lot of money, but it's payable.
It's doable.
$31,550 to Oregon State Parks.
You're still now, doable.
It's still kind of doable, but that's going to take a while. $100,000 to Huker Properties.
That's still doable.
Come on now. Now you're in over $140,000.
That's still doable, I think.
Then $168,000 to the Trail Club of Oregon.
I think you're still doable here. Still.
Do you?
I do.
Do you think?
I do. You're up near $300,000. Okay, a little over two.
No, it's almost $300,000. All right, well then, Union Pacific Railroad, $1,048,877.
I mean, you might be close to a breaking point here.
Yeah, I think you might be. $1.6 million to the Oregon State Fire Marshal.
I think that's a little excessive, but okay.
$12,500,000 to ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation.
I mean, the infrastructure, right? It's just...
$12,500,000. And then, of course, to the U.S. Forest Service, you owe $21,113,755.
How do you quantify that? I don't know. I don't know how you...
I don't know. You charge them per tree burned?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
What do you do?
I mean, 48,000 acres. I mean, I don't know how you, I guess you charge them an acre. I don't know. I don't know how they came to that justification for the amount. But the judge was all saying that it was proportionate because they were saying that it violated the Oregon and U.S. constitutions. But the judge likes not.
Well, it seems excessive to me to a 15-year-old. Come on. That's not excessive. $36 million.
When would it wouldn't be accessible?
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, you made a point it was excessive to a 15-year-old. But, I mean, are you thinking that someone older it
No,
wouldn't
it's excessive
be?
For everybody, but
okay.
especially
yeah,
a 15-year-old.
Okay.
I mean, who's going to pay $36 million?
No.
I mean, if it's Bill Gates, it's not excessive.
Right. I mean, if you hit the lotto, you pay it off. I mean, that's what the kid's doing, right?
I don't know. The judge wrote, in short, I'm satisfied that the restitution ordered in this case bears a sufficient relationship to the gravity of the offenses for which the youth was adjudicated.
Yeah. He was all for it.
Wow.
He was all for it. I love the payment schedule. Look, if you can't pay it in full, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying you got to pay it in full right now. You can work out a pay schedule.
Out a pay schedule of $1 million a year for 36 years.
We're good.
Think about that.
We're good.
So break that down per month.
You will have no more payments, and you'll still be under 50 years old. You'll be good.
This guy could pay...
That's amazing.
About $60,000 a month for the next 36 years, and maybe he could pay it off. No, it's more than $60,000.
No, it's more than that. I mean,
wow, it's a lot more than $60,000. It's like $80,000 a month. $80,000 a month for the next 36 years, and he's fine, and you're all paid up. That's if you can get a 36-year payment plan.
I mean, maybe we start a GoFundMe for the kid. What do you think?
Sure. Sure.
I mean, he's the one. Look, he admitted to it. He's guilty. Admitted to it.
And now, he didn't start the fire on purpose.
Well,
right?
They hurled fireworks into a canyon that was, you know, in along the hiking trail. And then they were all loving the spark of cloud and smoke and everything that came up out of the canyon from the fireworks. And there's even a little bit of a video somewhere of it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if this link takes me to the video or not. Probably not. But, no, that just takes me to the fire videos. But, you know, that's what started the actual 48,000
fireworks. So fireworks started
fire. Yes. So he and his buds, and I don't know where he gets, I'm fascinated. I never did see where it came down to why he's the only one.
Yeah, it looks like he got all the blame.
Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, and I'll try to find out why, but they didn't let me in the courtroom.
I'd love to know. Maybe there's a lawyer that can
How does he get out of that?
Yeah, how do you get out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be fascinating to know.
You don't want to be saddled with a $36 million debt.
No, you do not.
Now,
look, to be fair, like I said, you know, I think you just have to go to each one of these, right? Each one of these that you're supposed to pay restitution to and work out some kind of plan. And I don't know that they will work it out with you. I don't know that they say, you know, look, we got our insurance money, but we've already been paid, so you're good to go.
First of all, you say to the U.S. Forest Service, no. I'm not paying you $21 million.
I'll buy a bag of seeds.
Right. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pay taxes to the U.S. government on the money I earn. And you're welcome to whatever share the government gives to you. Okay? To Oregon Department of Transportation, you say the $12,500,000? Yeah, I'm not paying that.
Take some money from the stadium fund.
Yes. I think you can work those. You probably work those out. The Oregon State Fire Marshal, maybe as well,
and look, in the railroad company too, right?
And Union Pacific, because
you know that was all insured.
They know for a fact they're not getting that money.
That was all insured. They've already
you know for a fact. There's no way this 15-year-old kid is ever going to pay you all of that money.
Feel good judgment, right?
Yes. Maybe you work on trying to pay off Allstate and Iris Shank.
Can you give Iris back her $5,000?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, make her happy.
And the restitution to $8,100 bucks to Allstate, and you call it a day.
Hey, you know what? I'm even willing to pull the plug on Allstate.
Me too, yeah. Actually.
I don't want to be in good hands. Okay. I want to say, sorry, you know what, Allstate? I've known a couple of stories, and
it's a write-off for you.
I have a couple of stories. You're not getting the $8,000 from me.
You just write that one down, okay? Put it on your taxes.
You can just plan on me not paying that, okay?
And you know something like that is going to take place because there's no way this would ever happen.
So right now we're looking at Iris Shank getting her $5,000 back, and that's it. Let's call it. We're calling it even after that.
I think so. I don't know who Huker Properties
is or
why he owes $100,000.
I don't care. They probably owned the house Iris was living in.
And the Trail Club of Oregon. Sorry.
Yeah. Go. Whatever. Come on.
$168,000.
The Scouts will help you. The Scouts will help you to build another trail.
Yeah.
You can move on. Okay.
Speaking of the Scouts, you got an interesting story there,
don't
too.
Don't even start with me.
I know you love the Scouts. And you really don't. Of yourself, but your wife does,
and your son does, yeah.
And he's close to his eagle.
Yeah,
right?
He's going
to
be another month or so.
Does he have all the merit badges?
He's got all the merit badges. He's working at a scout camp all summer here in Texas, so that's going to slow the process down. So it's going to be after summer. But
okay,
He's ready to go. He's
Do you know what the project's going to be?
Yeah, he's refurbishing an old cemetery in South Lake, Florida, or South Lake, Texas.
Okay.
And he's
it's a common project.
He's redoing all the gravestones and
nice.
Making a virtual map of who's buried where. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, well, you know, when it's time for the project, give somebody else a call. I'm sure they'll help you out.
No, but I've already sent a card. I already sent a card to have you come over. And,
yeah, I don't.
I've got a toothbrush to clean some reason, the headstone with your name
mail,
on it.
Mail doesn't come to my house anymore. So
what's that?
I'm pretty sure I won't get that.
I just sent it to P. Gray, Texas.
Yeah, that's shut down.
It's supposed to.
I don't have email right anymore either. I don't have email or snail mail where I live. I don't know. They've shut down all those services. So. But give me a call, you know, or text or whatever.
Really, thanks. That's awful nice of you.
All right, we got to tell you about this scouting story, though. That's coming up. 888-727 Beck. More Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
Glenn Beck,
Pat Gray, and Jeffy on the Glenn Beck program for him this week. He's on vacation. Talking about this World Scouting event, got to tell you about this in a second. I was not a fan of Scouts when I was a kid. Didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I went to some of the meetings, and they were tying knots. And frankly, I wasn't the least bit interested in learning how to tie knots.
We do have that in common.
And I will never forget the first camp out I went on because I'd avoided them like the plague. I got a football game. I got a tennis match. I can't do that. Finally, my parents, I think, forced me to go on one of these campouts. Keep in mind, Montana in October, November.
Just outside the main streets.
And my family's not a camping family. And yeah, just outside but way outside the main streets. We're up with the caribou.
Right.
And it's cold. And I brought some skimpy little sleeping bag that was good to about 84 degrees and it wasn't exactly sufficient. And fortunately, I had a really good friend who knew that I was completely inept at camping. And he brought some extra stuff
that
saved my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with you now. I would have frozen to death that night.
My first camp out as a Boy Scout, because you had to be a Weeblo and then a Boy Scout, mm-hmm. which I didn't want to be part of because right. of camping. I was forced to camp as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
So I went on a polar bear. That's winter in Michigan.
Right.
They take you up to a river and you get out. And
do you jump into the river?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you almost.
So they don't get that stupid.
There was one kid, one fat kid that almost fell in the river that weekend on his weekend.
Oh, was there a fat kid?
There was a fat kid that almost fell in the river.
Huh.
But then they bring out. The only reason the hazing is the good scouts
of
clear
the, fat
the
kid?
Land and
yeah.
they put the straw down and they put the blanket down. And
they know
the
what they're doing.
Down. Yeah. The hazing becomes when they're going to let the fat kid just sleep on the ice.
And I am so impressed.
Darn near freeze to death or put a hot rock in his sleeping bag. Oh, that'll keep you warm. Oh, that'll keep you warm. No, it won't keep you warm. You know what'll keep you warm? Oh, I know, the fire. Oh, don't get too close. Otherwise, you'll melt the bottom of your boots, fat kid. Isn't that funny?
Your empathy for this fat kid is impressive, Jeffy. So you were really concerned for the fat kid.
I am concerned for that kid.
Surprises me that you cared that much about the fat kid. who would have guessed?
I know. So, I mean, I care.
Wow, I moved.
I care.
I moved that I you did care about the fat kid.
I did.
That
I was did being care hazed. About the fat kid that was being hazed.
Well,
I
this
did.
Is this is interesting. The Boy Scouts now have decided. Of course, they made a lot of decisions lately, and now they've made yet another one. There is a mandate that all their participants of their global gathering coming up will be distributed condoms.
Yeah. You don't have to use them.
So at the World Scout Jamboree, there's mandatory condom distribution. For the first time, a World Jamboree will be hosted by the three National Scout organizations, Scouts Canada, Scouts of Mexico, Boy Scouts of America. these three distinct cultures will join together to host World Scouting Community in a celebration of culture exchange, mutual understanding, peace and friendship, and apparently sex. Because they're distributing condoms. And then they wonder why our church pulled out. That might have something to do with it. I don't know. Jeez.
So you're against safe sex? Is what you're telling me? Is what I heard?
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. And Jeffy for Glenn this week. You can join me, by the way, on Pat Gray Unleashed every day, 12 Eastern, on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. We were talking about this 15-year-old kid. It kind of accidentally started a forest fire that burned 48,000 acres in Oregon.
Well,
I mean, you know, it was a stupid thing to do. Throw firecrackers into a canyon.
You would think that someone would be smart enough to not throw fireworks into a canyon where the
you would hope so,
kindling. But on a serious note, all 15-year-olds do something stupid.
No question.
Now, hopefully, you don't do a 48,000-acre burn.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And granted, there are consequences for actions.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just that $36 million seems a bit exorbitant for a 15-year-old kid.
It does.
There's no way he can pay that.
No, and we've gone down the list of people who he owes money to now, according to the court.
Yeah.
And Iris Shank gets the $5,000 and the rest of the people suck wind. That's the way it goes.
At least that's the way we kind of laid it out. Iris was renting a home, and so she was awarded $5,000 because the rented home she was in burned down.
Right.
So you're welcome to your $5,000, Iris.
Everybody else,
Allstate, Oregon State Parks, U.S. Forest Service, probably not getting their money.
Union Pacific Railroad, sorry.
Yeah. But Sean in Oregon maybe can shed some light on this. Welcome, Sean, to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to point out that, it took thousands of people to fight that fire. I mean, you guys made a little bit of fun of the fire service and how much money goes to them, but literally it costs.
I know it does.
But
yeah,
it was millions of dollars to fight that fire. And then the whole, what you don't want is you don't want some weenie sentence. Oh, here's some community service for putting lives in danger. They had 153 hikers trapped on that trail.
Wow, really?
The winds are high.
Did they make it out? Did they make it out, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they got them. But I mean, you put lives in danger. It's
you did.
Through there, if you're familiar with it at all,
and not only innocent lives, but lives of the people working trying to put the fire out. So there's no question.
Yeah.
I understand.
And then the question of the, $36 million, no, he's never going to pay that, but he put a safety valve in there. So, if he doesn't win Powerball, after 10 years, assuming that he completes his probation and stays compliant with whatever payment plan, which, it could be $100. I mean, they'll probably set it up proportional to whatever he's making.
Yeah.
It goes away.
Oh, that wasn't part of the story at all.
That's not part of the story. Any of the
Where did you see that? Is that what they're saying locally?
Yeah, it's in the Oregonian.
Okay. All right.
It says,
if it's in the Oregonian.
He also cited safety valves in state law, including one that allows payments to stop after 10 years if a juvenile defendant completes probation, doesn't commit other offenses, and complies with payment.
Right, because the probation is 5 years, and he's got, 1,900 hours of community service.
This is a lot of community service.
It certainly is.
The point is, like I said, if he wins the lottery, great. Odds are decent that, somebody's going to look at that and go, whatever, 10
Very
years,
true.
You're a reasonable citizen here. It goes away.
Yeah.
Yes, is it obnoxious? Yes. But let's just be realistic about some of the real costs. I don't think those.
Oh, exactly. You're right. And appreciate the call. Thanks, Sean. We're not trying to minimize.
No, and we were
the
not.
Damage or the or.
I most definitely was not. Yeah. I was really making fun of the $36 million. It seemed ridiculous.
Because obviously nobody could pay that. Well,
no.
Bill Gates could pay it off. Mark Zuckerberg could pay it off.
And maybe
but
they will.
A 15-year-old
maybe they'll
kid,
feel
probably
bad
not.
For the kid, and pay it off for
yeah,
him.
No question.
Maybe they help him out.
888 727 Beck, we've got this agonizing story about what happened at a Kendrick Lamar concert. Big rapper Kendrick Lamar, is he's one of the big rappers in America, right? He's a pretty big star. And I guess, like so many performers, he brings audience members up on stage with him to rap his songs. Keep in mind, they're rapping his songs with his lyrics. And here's what happened when he invited one young girl up on stage.
What's your name?
Delaney.
Make some noise for Delaney right now.
My rules and crips all got along. They probably got me down by the end of the song.
That's great.
Seems like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yah, 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 yah. Sitting down, waiting for me.
Yo, boy. Okay, they stop her. She's singing the song. Audience is booing. She has no idea what the problem is. A lot of swearing going on.
What's up?
My boy Rohan kind of knew the rules a little bit.
He's talking about the previous guy.
You have to work.
You got
to
bleep one single word, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do it?
Yeah, you did it.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Should she stay up here, y'all?
Okay, she's a white girl, keep in mind.
You sure? She's even cock out
there. I promise.
Okay, we've heard enough. I get the gist. He invites people up on stage. The first guy rapped the song with him and skipped the N-word. The girl, who is white, rapped the song and included his lyrics, which include the N-word three or four times in a row.
And she skipped the first one, right? And, the first time she skipped it. So she was rethinking to herself, I've got to skip it.
So it's man down, where are you from, N-word. F, who you know, where are you from, my N-word.
So, right.
Where your grandma stay, huh, my N-word? Where my grandma stay? Wait, what does my grandma have to do with this? Maybe we should look into that, too. What is that weirdness? What are you talking about? My grandmother is none of your business, Kendrick. Where my grandma stay? What? This mad city I run, my N-word. Okay, these are his lyrics. That's his song. He wrote those into it, and she's expected not to say them when he invites her on stage to sing his song.
Ridiculous.
And she's tormented by the audience and, called all manner of hateful things.
Apologizing because she goes, oh, did I do it? Yeah, because she got comfortable singing the song that she knows.
Yep.
That's the way she sings it every day because guess what? That's the way the song is.
And if you don't want people singing the N-word, don't put it in your song. What do you think happens when the song comes on the radio? White people just say, oh, I can't say that. In the comfort of their own car. They can't do that? Of course they're singing along with your song. How is it possible that this kind of double standard is perfectly acceptable? And you could tell the audience fully accepts that double standard. Yeah, Kendrick can say it. I guess if he brought a black person up on stage, they could say it. But this white girl can't say it.
Ridiculous.
Oh, then don't put it in the lyrics. You can't have it both ways, at least as far as I'm concerned.
No way. And they want it both ways. And then here's another thought. If we're going to make that a big deal, Kendrick, you're asking for it by bringing white people up on stage to rap your songs.
Yeah. I mean, unless you tell them it beforehand, hey, look, only I can say the N-word. You can't. So skip that word. Okay. He didn't do that. He stopped after she said it multiple times, and then he's like, oh, you gotta edit this. Then why'd you put it in there? Why did you put it in there? And let me ask you again. Why do you want to know where my grandma stay? What's that all about? That's none of your business, where my grandma stay.
You're reading too much into that. I don't know.
Both my grandmas stay in heaven. That's where they are. Okay, Kendrick,
oh,
if you must know.
See.
See, Why'd he bring that up? He brings that painful. Wow.
And then you bringing it up reminds me of my grandma's dead. So
yeah, both of them or just one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we lost him.
Yeah, they're both gone.
We lost him. And it's only been, I don't know, 50, 60. Well, in one case, 80 years. But
still.
Still. It's still painful. Yeah, it's too soon. Too soon to be asking me where my grandma stay. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Okay. Still thinking about this just bizarre rap incident.
The whole thing is amazing. It just fascinates me how we're supposed to not say the word. And we've the rap community, people like Jay-Z, I guess, is he the king of the rap community? I guess I don't know. I suppose so. He believes that, you know, we've hip hop has taken the word and flipped it to use as a word of empowerment. But to bring someone up on stage,
I don't buy that.
I don't know that I buy it either, but okay. So,
but that's how they justify it.
Right. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you put it in your music and you bring people up on stage to perform while you take a break instead of you continuing your show.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid you do the whole show without bringing anybody else up on stage. Do your work.
Right.
And I know one of the tweets during the show from at also Stephen King. So he's like, "Do you know it?" And she's trying to act all baller saying, "Man, I got you." So he starts the track, and she gets to the first N-word of the song, and she doesn't say it. So I breathe a sigh of relief. Now then, onward we go to the rest of it, where she ended up using the word because she was nervous and realized she shouldn't say it. But then she decided, as she felt more comfortable singing the song, the way she normally sings it in her bedroom, in her car, in her kitchen, at wherever she's at by herself, because she loves the song. That's because she knows it so well. She sings it the way it's heard.
Sings it the way it's written by Kendrick
Lamar.
And
now we're supposed to be mad about that? No. No, honey. No.
It's a crazy world. No. Just upside down. Just unbelievable. By the way, this also took me a little bit aback. Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize for music.
Did you just say it took you back?
It did. Yes, I'm a little surprised.
But you,
that rapper Kendrick Lamar has a Pulitzer Prize
in the segment before this.
I heard those poignant lyrics.
You should have known the lyrics.
And I don't know if it's for that song or all songs in general. Maybe somebody can enlighten me on that. I'm not as up on my Kendrick Lamar Pulitzer Prize information as I should be.
I mean, I find it difficult to believe that you read lyrics from one of his songs and then
are surprised at his Pulitzer.
Yes.
Well, he's been called a voice of the generation. That's what he is.
Well, that's clear.
Mixes hip-hop with poetry and political protest. This is wonderful stuff. It's common subjects of race, police brutality,
right,
and perseverance. Made his songs the anthem of the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's great. That's great. I'm glad he's got a Pulitzer. But, you know, for poignant lyrics like we just read you a few minutes ago, clearly those are deserving of very high praise and honor. And you're right, Jeffy. I shouldn't have been surprised.
Thank you.
Have been surprised. In fact, not only should he get a Pulitzer Prize, he should get a Nobel Prize for Peace for what this man is doing, because it's extraordinary.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I didn't realize that he had the Pulitzer either, because I was just going by the song that we were playing.
Yeah. Mad City.
I'm not really surprised that he's not in the Rock Hall of Fame yet.
If he's not, he will be before Foreigner. Mark my words. So we got that going for us.
I'd like to say that that's not true, but I don't know that
it is. You don't know that it is. No. I mean, we stumbled into an interesting fact the other day on Pat Gray Unleashed, my show that immediately follows this on the Blaze Radio and TV network. But we were talking about Johnny Cash for some reason. I don't remember. Johnny Cash, hardcore country music guy.
Johnny Cash.
Is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Both. He's one of the few.
He's also in
both.
The country Hall of Fame. He's also in the Songwriting Hall of Fame. I mean, he's in all
he's
three.
Johnny Cash, man.
All three.
Messing with the Man in Black.
Foreigner? No, not so much. An actual rock band that's actually sold 80 million albums? multiple hits.
If I remember correctly, Johnny Cash has sold like 90 million.
He's probably sold more than Foreigner, but not of rock and roll music.
Just, oh, wait, that's right. That's the rock call.
It's a sham. Right. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Eric in Indiana. Eric, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, first-time caller, and I wanted to make a comment on the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
I'm an Eagle Scout. Both of my sons are Eagle Scouts.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks. But it breaks my heart to see the values of our nation dwindle away, and here's a you know, an organization that's been around for 100 years, and now it's
sad.
Lost our way, and we're stumbling.
They have, and they've made some really amazing decisions in the last few years that I never believed the Boy Scouts of America would make.
Oh, I agree, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons that you saw all the churches pull out of Boy Scouts, and now to see, you know, administering condoms at a worldwide jamboree.
It's crazy.
I know the motto is be prepared, but that's taking it a little too far.
Thanks, Eric. That's one. You too. That's one thing that the Boy Scouts shouldn't be prepared for, because it shouldn't be happening on a world scouting camp out. But here's the interesting aspect is, I mean, aren't you going out in the wilderness somewhere and camping? Who are you?
Not for the jamboree. Not for the big jamboree, you're not.
They have allowed girls in. Maybe that's their concern.
No. First of all, the girls are separate.
They allowed the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. They're the Scouts of America. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. What are you talking about? No, they aren't. Yes, they are.
They're still the Boy Scouts.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They have changed their name. Look it up. Look it up. You've really pissed me off now.
This really pissed me off now, because the girls are separate. It's a separate thing.
What do you mean?
The boys and the girls are not together when you look at the facts. But that's okay.
Well, they changed their name.
It's okay.
I'm looking
to your little fight
I'm
over
Googling
the Boy Scout.
Right now.
It's fine.
As
you can beat up on them all you want.
Oh, here's the first story I get to, WashingtonPost.com. Boy Scouts change their name with girls soon to join their ranks.
They're still Boy Scouts.
They're not.
Okay.
They're not. For 108 years. Here's the story. Okay. Washington Post. The Boy Scouts of America flagship program has been known simply as the Boy Scouts. With girls soon entering the ranks, the group says that name will change. Organization on Wednesday announced that the Boy Scouts, the program for 11 to 17-year-olds, will now be Scouts BSA. Jeff Fisher, put that in your pipe.
Okay, I did.
And smoke it.
I did.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, who was right here? Scouts BSA seems to be a different name than Boy Scouts. Is it just me?
Just you. Just you.
But again, you know, it's disappointing because the Scouts, Boy Scouts stood for traditional values. And
yes, they did.
It seems that in the last 15 years or so, they threw those traditional values out the window. And they allowed all kinds of things now. And so it's just a darn shame. Yeah, darn shame. Because my sons, two of my sons, were very close to their Eagle Scout. They both became Life Scouts and were just a few merit badges and their Eagle Project away from Eagle Scouts, and then just totally lost interest. Just didn't want to anymore.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
To me.
I don't know anymore.
I mean.
888-727. Beck. This Kendrick Lamar rap concert story gets more agonizing with each passing second. I was just reading some of the tweets about it, and
all good.
Oh, all wonderful.
Okay,
all wonderful, okay, and good. Insightful. The wisdom being imparted on Twitter cannot be overstated. It's just so helpful. then as I scroll down to somebody who calls themselves Jason L. on Twitter, he says, apparently, y'all haven't seen these videos that pop up every time he pulls a white chick up on stage. This whole tour, this happens every time.
Is it on purpose?
He encourages it. First time I've seen this reaction, just saying. So he wants it to happen so he can make his statement every single time. It's despicable.
It sure is.
This is ridiculous. Okay, the claim is now on the N-word that the N-word has been taken back and repositioned, and that's it's now positive.
Right.
But only if black people say it.
Right.
Come on now. Come on now. The situation with this word has gotten so ludicrous. It's hard to even put it into words how ludicrous this whole situation is. 888-727 Beck. I would like to see the other videos on this that I've apparently missed where this keeps happening. Pretty interesting. Charlie in Mississippi, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
They just wanted to set some records straight on the Boy Scouts
okay.
of America transition. Mm-hmm. So when this thing was created, when this whole drive to move to the segregation of boys and girls and the evolution of things that have happened over the course of years, mm-hmm. so this is the real reason why this is happening. So number one, when this emerging boys and girls come together, they will be separated. So if there's a group of females that want to participate in the Boy Scouts, they would have the option of doing that, but it would be in their own separate group.
Yeah, they're not camping together then.
Right. Well, they do projects. They could do projects together, but they come back to their own group, correct?
Exactly.
Was my understanding,
Yes, exactly. And the things that's really missing from this, in 2018, if you think of all the pressure from the media and all the social pressure from these activists and whatnot, think of the crushing weight mm-hmm. on the Boy Scouts of America by these left-wing either media groups or activists to participate in inclusion. Think about on a call standpoint, if the Boy Scouts of America did not take this position, and I promise you this was not their intention, but it was they were in a rock in a hard place. They had no other option other than fighting this momentum with throwing dollars and dollars, and eventually would crush the Boy Scouts of America out of existence. And that's the problem that we face is, you know, it wasn't that they wanted to do it. It was the weight of this. And then you coupled that with the fact of, you know, when the Girl Scouts was created, it was founded upon the premise that males went to the workforce and females stayed at home. And so the Girl Scouts was kind of a glorified home economics class, right? So you did these treats. You learned how to take care of laundry and cook and sell cookies. But now in 2018... you know, there's dual income earners, right? So if you are a female and say you're a senior, what is one number one things you can have on your college resume is an Eagle Scout.
Right.
Well, there was not a path for those females to have those same type of recognitions as males. So, you know, once again, I think it's the evolution of society, coupled that with the crushing weight of these activist groups and everything sure. in between. I don't think it's, I think honestly,
well, I've never said, I'm not saying that the Boy Scouts wanted to do these things. I'm saying they've caved in to all of these things. Yes. We're all under pressure. I mean, we're all under pressure every single day. Believe me, there are special interest groups that are hammering on virtually everybody. But don't you, if you have integrity, don't you hold out? If you believe in certain principles, don't you hold out?
Do you have a daughter?
Of course I do. I've got three of them.
And, What if your daughter came to you and said she wanted to be Eagle Scout?
I'd say, well, there's not a mechanism for that. Do something else. I mean, there's plenty of other things you can do besides being an Eagle Scout. This was created to be a thing for boys. Now, if somebody wants to create something similar for girls, create something similar for girls. I mean, we've got Girl Scouts. The fact that they don't do what the boys do isn't the fault of the Boy Scouts. Then change your program at the Girl Scouts. If there's such a clamor for girls wanting to be Eagle Scouts, create it. The Boy Scouts are under no obligation to do that.
Right.
Well, which is really what he's saying is that the Boy Scouts did. They created it.
Well, no, they just caved in to the pressure and just decided to make it a boys and girls organization, which, you know, whatever. But there are groups that aren't going to accept that. And so, you know, if you're going to change your principles after 108 years, there's going to be some repercussions. And to me, appreciate the call, Charlie. I get it. You're a Boy Scout fan, and there's a lot of Boy Scout fans. But, you know, hold out. Stand up. We're all under pressure.
Yeah.
You know, society is under pressure. And that's why you're seeing all the cracks in it. I mean, we're all under pressure not to say certain things, not to do certain things, not to believe certain things. You got to change your religious points of view or be persecuted for it. Yeah, you got to stand up to it, right? I mean, that's our problem, is that because of the pressure, everybody caves. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's just easier to cave. It's just easier to say, yeah, there's too much going on now. Yeah, times have changed. Yeah, okay, they don't have a program. Let's just let them in our program. Well, that's not the way it was set up. And girls could create their own thing because up until recently, girls weren't part of the Boy Scouts. Maybe they should have. It would have been a different organization, though. But if they, you know, if they would have said that at the beginning, all boys, all girls, whatever, come on in. I don't know. Girl Scouts should have accommodated girls if they want to be Eagle Scouts.
Well, obviously they weren't, though, right? They didn't.
And that's not the Boy Scouts' fault.
Well, I know that, but
it's not their obligation to make it okay for the Girl Scouts.
And just so we're clear, right? Pat Gray.
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
Okay, be clear.
The umbrella organization over Cub Scouts and Scouts retains its name, Boy Scouts of America.
Okay, but the Scouts are the Scouts
the
BSA.
The umbrella organization
doesn't
change its name.
I don't know about the umbrella organization.
Okay.
Whatever. Whatever.
So.
And all I know is
so
they're handing out condoms at their world event. Is that because of pressure, too? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you're being pressured on that, too. Well, who are they going to have sex with if the girls aren't there? What's going on?
Are you seriously asking that question?
What's going on? So, because you changed your policy on homosexuality, now you're encouraging acting on things? I don't know. What is that? That is bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre to me. And again,
they're not encouraging.
If you're handing it out, well, it's like, yeah. Okay, we know you're going to do something, so do it safely. Well, wait a minute. Well,
just in case.
Are we just at a jamboree? This used to be about canoeing and hiking. Now it's about sex. Safe sex. All right. Okay. That's not the organization I thought it was. And that's, you know, that's why they've run into the situations they've run into. Commenting on the condom policy, John Stemberger, president of the Florida Family Policy Council, wrote, "It's not clear how far down the rabbit hole the Boy Scouts will continue to fall." Now it's becoming clear. It's becoming pretty clear. They're going to go all the way to the bottom of the rabbit hole. They're just going to continue to cave, it looks like, right? Because it's too hard. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy coming up for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. According to a Democrat from Texas, Al Green, if Americans give the House of Representatives back to Democrats this November, one of the first things that will happen is the impeachment of President Donald Trump, he said.
Wow. I hope they run on that.
I do too. Because if they run on that, they're going to win running
on
that.
No way. If they run on that, they lose. I mean, at least I believe that for sure.
I think so too.
No one wants that. No one wants that.
There's a good likelihood there will be articles of impeachment brought against Trump, Green said. Here's a point that I think is salient and one that ought to be referenced. Every member of the House is accorded the opportunity. I think he means afforded the opportunity, but to bring up impeachment. This is not something the Constitution has bestowed upon leadership. It's something every member has the right and privilege of doing, and they fully intend to do it, apparently. So keep that in mind this November.
Good for them.
President for Trump's them. Been tweeting that out as well.
I know he has.
If the Democrats get control of the House, look for impeachment.
I mean, yes.
And yeah.
I don't think that they could win on that. I don't know.
I don't think so either.
You know, I don't know what Netflix has to do to make me go away, but they're trying.
Are they?
I don't know what point it takes to get me to go away from them, but they're trying. First, they gave me Letterman.
Oh.
They've got Jane Fonda doing a show, and now they've just signed this multi-year deal.
What show is Jane Fonda doing?
She's with, I can't remember the name of it now. I haven't even watched it. I can't bring myself to even watch it.
Is it a series?
Series, a Netflix series, a comedy series.
Oh, wow. A Netflix agonizing. Original starring Jane Fonda?
Agonizing. Oof. The Obamas have just signed a multi-year deal to make shows and movies for Netflix.
When are the Obamas entertainment specialists?
Because they're Michelle and Barack.
Well, look at her arms. You ever seen her arms? She's got incredible arms. The fantastic
again,
arms.
I don't know what the content is going to be produced by Higher Ground Productions. Oh, man, I can't. I just cannot wait.
Yeah, TV shows and movies produced by Barack and Michelle Obama.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, that's a dream come true.
That's good. Obama said...
Does it say what they're paying him for this?
No, there was no mention of
funds yet. I'd love to know.
Do you know? It's way
too
much.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a fortune.
It's way too much. I mean, it's worth every penny. Did I say that? I don't know what Netflix has to do to make me go away, because I do enjoy some of their, a lot of their original content very much. And they're spending a boatload of more money on original content.
Billions.
But,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I can't. No, I can't. I can't. I could barely make it. I did not make it all the way through the Letterman-Obama interview. And don't make me have to pass by Obama stuff every day, please. Please, dear Lord, no.
Just Letterman's look is enough to avoid that show.
Nah, I mean, he's okay. I still kind of have a soft place.
Oh, my gosh.
I still have a soft place in my heart for Dave.
He
drives me insane. But
yeah. I lost that soft place a long time ago. Long time ago.
I mean, he comes across. That interview with Jay-Z was kind of agonizing. I sat through that. And Jay-Z, brought up, as they sit down, Jay-Z brought up something about the housekeepers and the nannies. And Dave had a funny look on his face. And Jay-Z's like, oh, we're not supposed to talk about the help, Dave.
Well, no, Mr. Income Inequality. You shouldn't be.
Right.
I liked when he was talking with Jerry Seinfeld. That was pretty interesting.
Do you do Trump stuff when you go out?
No, it doesn't interest me. I do a lot of raisin stuff.
A lot of what?
Raisins. I have a lot of raisin material. Because, you have the Sunmaid company. And then you have the Raisinette people.
Yeah, that's right. And you're going to go with the Sunmaid people.
Well, I just think it's interesting that after 80 years, Sunmaid finally went, hey, why don't we put some chocolate on it?
Uh-huh.
Like, imagine not thinking of that for 80 years.
That's really funny.
That's great stuff from Jerry Seinfeld, because he's not playing along with the game.
And David was pissed about it, too.
And Letterman's trying to goad him into bashing Trump.
Bad.
And he wouldn't do it. Nah, that doesn't interest me. Not going to do that. I'm going to talk about raisins. That's why people love Jerry Seinfeld.
I know. That's exactly
his
why.
Show never got into that stuff. I mean, they just made fun of things. And it turned out pretty well for him.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow. And, of course, on Pat Unleashed, next on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.